I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed. This is Merritt Larwood.
Hello, film lovers and everyone else. This is the review of 2014. It's all over. It's in the past. You can't change it. Everything is done.
Yeah.
You can lie about it and rewrite it, but in your head it is done.
Right here, right now, is the point where mistakes become regrets. Yeah? And you're going to live with those for the rest of your life.
The only hope you've got is that you try and forget them, or somehow change them in your mind with the use of drugs. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about what films you've seen.
What a year it's been. What a year.
I don't think it's been a great... I've seen... Well, I've left my film book at home, which I write down every single film in.
I don't mind telling you, I was slightly gutted when you told me that you've left your film Filofax at home.
I write down every film I've seen, and I put a circle, I give the merit rating a circle if it's a new release. If I've seen it before, I put tick by it, and otherwise
I leave
it.
You keep this film diary purely for the recording of this episode.
Yeah,
once a year.
I've left it at home.
You've left it at home.
I know that last year I watched 155 films. This year I've only watched about 120 films.
Okay.
I don't know why, because work-wise it's been pretty quiet. So I don't know if I've been kidnapped and drugged and I've lost a month.
You did lose that month in April, didn't you, I think?
Something has happened. That's Buddy the dog squeaking in the background.
I mean, just to go over the... I looked up Box Office Mojo last night to have a look at sort of an overview of the business side of 2014. Highest grossing film?
Bumholes.
Bumholes 2, Age of the Bumhole. Now, it's Transformers, Age of Extinction, is the biggest film of 2014.
What a travesty.
I know. It's a terrible, terrible film. It's also, funnily enough...
I haven't actually seen it, so I can't say.
No, neither have I.
I'm assuming it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's also on many, many online lists of the worst films of 2014. But that might be professional jealousy from the fact it's made so much money. But I doubt it somehow. I thought what would be interesting is, what is the lowest grossing film I saw posters for? Because some films are lowest grossing because they only released in one cinema in the mountains somewhere, you know? But the lowest grossing film I saw a poster for.
A bus poster?
Yes.
I don't know. I've got no idea, David.
The lowest grossing one was a film called Ragnarok. And it seemed to have some sort of teens in it, and it was about the coming of the age of Ragnarok, sort of modern Viking
thing.
How
much did it make?
It made about $2,000 total. And the second lowest that I saw a poster for was a British film, and I'm so glad it did badly, because it was the most cynical, charmless cash-in of an intellectual property.
What's it called?
The Postman Pat movie.
Good. It looked awful.
It made about $4,000 worldwide total. It
can't be that bad.
Yeah, absolutely appalling.
Postman shat.
Well, it was about a postman in a tiny village, and he enters a national singing competition. That is not a story Postman Pat should be engaging with. I'm sorry. I'm glad it did terribly.
Well, what we're going to do this episode is we're going to talk about...
episode?
Yeah, I'm just livening up a little bit.
Okay.
No, that wasn't lively before. I just thought, you know, keep people on their toes.
By mispronouncing words every now and again. Good call.
is we're going to talk about the five films that were released, five films that we liked that were released this year, sort of UK release, yep. 2014. And also because we watch a lot of films, as everyone does, that you have five films we saw in 2014 that we hadn't seen before that we really enjoyed that you might like to watch.
Yeah, just a reminder of the things we've mentioned that we thought we enjoyed watching. So, let's go one each. In no particular order.
So, 2014 films.
Yeah, our favourites of the year. What's one of your favourites of the year?
Well, I banged on about this all year, and I always pick... we've got a running thing with films with Bluey in the title, films... and last year, like I talked about Bluey's Almost Colour constantly. This year is a low-budget American film about a guy who lives in a car... and the person who released his parent, person who killed his parents, is released from prison, and he goes to try and kill them. It's quite simple. It's really tightly scripted, and they shot it for $100,000. You should go and watch this film. It's called Blue Ruin.
I saw it last week. Finally, think? I thought it was excellent, absolutely excellent. He's a really unexpected leading man.
You know, he's a cartoonist as his professional
job.
Is he
really?
Yeah. Because he was friends with the director, and they cast him in. They both maxed out their credit cards to make it.
Wow. I mean, it's a superbly made piece, and it's he is a leading loser. And he needs to be, because his story is not a heroic one, particularly. It's one of taking an act of vengeance, and then the fallout and the escalation of that in real life. What would happen? You don't get to walk away into the sunset afterwards.
His face is brilliant though,
isn't it? It's fantastic. Yeah he reminded me a bit of Paul Litchfield, who we had on the show.
No.
Yeah, he looks a bit like him.
No.
Yeah, he does.
No.
Yeah, he does. I enjoyed it. I agree, it is very good.
What have you got then for the list?
Well, another film from this year that I thought was excellent. Another British film about a soldier in Northern Ireland getting separated from his unit during the Troubles. It's 71.
That's also on my list.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's a good film.
In my top five.
Good
films.
Film.
Yeah.
Since watching 71, there's an actor in it, the one who had the fantastic moustache.
Guy from Prometheus.
Is he? Yeah. No, not him. The other one. Who was the slightly friendlier one. Slightly chubbier one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I've seen him in lots of things. He has an absolutely fantastic beard in the TV show Ripper Street.
So 71, that's made both our lists. I'm going to probably say one that's on your list as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, 71 is a thriller set in the Troubles, but it's more of a thriller than it is a political movie, we should say that.
Yes, it is. It's not political satire or commentary, really. It's a thriller set during a time you probably won't have seen a thriller set before. But it's very well made and acted and everything else.
I don't know why it wasn't more lauded by the critics.
Yeah.
The Lego Movie.
Really? It's in your top five?
I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was so funny, it made me laugh all the way through, and I didn't... And when you go and watch it, I was watching my friend... Paul Allen, friend of the show, and we both, it's such, immediately, you go to the Lego Movie, you're cynical, you think, I don't really want to like this, it's just a cash-in movie to make kids buy Lego, but the how brave they were with the jokes, and the amount of, the JPM, joke per minute rate, is high on this, David. It goes through, it really made me laugh, and I think it's a bit of a lull in the second bit, but I'm really enjoying it.
Well, that's
really
it. That's the reason it's not on my top five. I did really enjoy it. I thought it had a fantastic opener, and the last 20 minutes are brilliant, and I felt it got a bit noisy and pointless in the middle. That's why it's not on my list. But I think it's an excellent kids' film. Excellent.
I think it's an excellent adults' film, too. Okay.
Well, that's seen the rise of Chris Pine 2014, hasn't it? Not Chris Pine, Chris Pratt. Who is the lead in the Lego Movie. He's the lead in Guardians of the Galaxy, and he's going to be next year the lead in Jurassic World.
Well, lucky Pratt. Yeah. So that's three off my list.
Three off my list. Well, my next one is Brendan Gleeson film Calvary,
mm-hmm.
where he plays a priest... on an island with life full of regrets, who gets a phone call saying that a man who's never met him is going to come and kill him on Sunday.
Oh, God.
It's really good. It's by the same guy who did The Guard, which is another Brendan Gleeson film. But if you like Gleeson, then he doesn't get better than in these films. The collaborations he has with this director are just excellent. So Calvary, I thought, was great.
So I've done three in my list. Have you done...
I've done two off my list.
Go on, then. Another one.
Another one. Another little British film, actually, that I thought was excellent. Really quirky and funny and just charming. And I still listen to music off the soundtrack of it. Is Frank, the Michael Fassbender, Domhnall Gleeson, Maggie Gyllenhaal film about, written by John Ronson, evoking the spirit of Frank Sidebottom. And it's really fun.
Number four, for a film, I think it's an achievement in terms of dedication. I wasn't amazingly blown away by it, but this year there hasn't been really any film that's that new release that's blown me away.
No,
I have put Her on my list. I really like that because that came out this year, but it was out in America, so I didn't include that.
Well, it was in the previous year's Oscar noms,
yeah,
wasn't
so
it?
I felt like I couldn't. I thought that was really great, but I put Boyhood in the Richard Linklater film.
It's on my long list, definitely.
Where they basically follow this boy's family with Patricia Arquette and Ethan Hawke, and some kid through 10 years of their life, and it's at the actual age during the film where it's shot over a 10 year period.
12, I think it's
12. Oh, it's 12 then. 10, 12, who cares? Once you get older, you start to forget. You don't even know when your own birthday is, and you look in the face in the mirror and it's wrinkled and you feel old. And in the inside, you still think, I haven't done anything yet. I haven't done anything, and my body, my physical being is collapsing around me, and it's all over.
You sound like the principal character in my next choice.
Well, that's a lovely segue.
You sound like Michael Keaton in Birdman.
That's not... Well, that hasn't even... Is that officially released in 2014?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay.
It doesn't come out in Britain until January, I don't think. So it may be out by the time this is released. But, yes. No. Properly good film. Really well scripted and acted and everything else. Has its problems, as John Luke Roberts pointed out in previous weeks. But... I absolutely loved it.
My fifth, and I've got a lot of honourable mentions, things like Under the Skin.
Under the Skin is my fifth.
Oh, it's not mine.
Under the Skin, I thought was Scarlett Johansson as an alien visiting Scotland in order to harvest people and having a crisis of confidence, I guess. But I thought it was... a beautifully made film. Absolutely beautiful and well worth watching. Under the Skin.
My fifth, we're going for a comedy. British comedy. In Between Us Two.
Yes. Oh, really?
I gave it... I've not even seen the extras. The film that I got cut out of would be my only... But I think it has got some of the funniest laugh out loud set pieces in it of the whole year. It's really tightly written.
Well, I was slightly... sad that there were no comedies I'd seen that could even get close to my list, I think. So, you know, I didn't see that one. So.
I think this and the Lego Movie are the two best comedies I've seen this year. So
yeah.
That if you want just a really well-made comedy where you know the characters are, and I think you if you've watched In Between Us, you know it's more rewarding for you.
Right.
But it's just funny. So that's my
That's your fifth.
Yeah.
Honourable mentions. Go on, rattle off some. What didn't make your list? Do you have any there? I've got a couple.
Second.
I mean, The Edge of Tomorrow, I thought, was a very good action film. Live, Die, Repeat, or All You Need Is Kill. It has many titles. Boyhood, you've already mentioned. Tim's Vermeer, I thought, was absolutely excellent. If you want to see an obsessive man examine art and sort of blow your mind slightly, I thought that was well worth it. Guardians of the Galaxy I did really enjoy, although it didn't make my list because I like Marek have become a bit oversaturated with these Marvel Universe films, but you know, it was fun enough. It was good. It had some good performances in it, and The Raid 2 as well I thought was great fun.
I'm just getting my list now because I can't believe I left my film book at home. I'm so annoyed. All that work I'm just getting my IMDb ratings for the year of Imitation Game was very good.
Yes.
Interstellar almost made my list as well. It's up there. There's a lot of films I gave 8 to, and they're both on the blooming list, whether you like it or not. Lucy, I quite enjoyed that.
Yes, the Luc Besson, Scarlett Johansson film.
Yeah, even though a lot of people were a bit
sniffy about it, weren't they?
Yes, but I was quite... The Fault in Our Stars is a good weepy film, not quite up there. Lunchbox was quite interesting. Grand Budapest Hotel was all right. You know, there were quite a few that were there or thereabouts.
Ah, cool. Well, those are our favourites of the year. What are yours? Why not email us and we'll talk about them next week, maybe. DearFilmFandango@gmail.com. Let us know what films other people should be watching. We want to all find the good ones. That's basically what this is about. If you want to talk to each other directly, go to facebook.com/FilmFandango, or you can tweet us at FilmFandango, at Mr. David Reed, or at Marek Larwood. And we do all of this for free. So if you'd like to get in some final donations, I know it's now 2015 already, but, you know, final donations, then please do. We do all of this for free, so we can only do it because you do this. So go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the link from there if you'd like to keep this podcast going. And thank you to everyone who has. We've watched a lot of films this year that didn't come out this year.
Yeah, films that you, our favourite films we haven't seen before, that you probably would have, a lot of people might have seen, you would have heard of, that we've got round to watching.
I mean, I've racked my brains for some of the ones I've watched this year that I really enjoyed and I'm glad I watched. Whether this is the definitive list, I don't know, because I've watched so many films and I won't possibly recall them all. But a couple. What have you got?
My first one, which I was amazed I haven't seen before, a comedy. It's done by famous director.
Oh yeah, that guy.
He's done a lot of films, and his name is Martin Scorsese.
Okay,
but you think Martin Scorsese, they don't think of this film. I absolutely loved it. It's got Griffin Dunne, who was an American Werewolf in London. It's got Rosanna Arquette in it. It's After Hours. It's about a guy who's leaving work and he gets involved in a number of difficult situations and he has to get home. Griffin Dunne is spectacular. All the cameos are funny. It's filmed back in 1985. Really unique, really great. Written by some Joseph Minion, who apparently wrote it for some sort of university project or something. I can't recommend it high enough. You want a quirky, I hate the word quirky, off the wall, I hate that word. An unusual comedy, and also it's a drama. And he's really watchable, Griffin Dunne. He should have been a big Hollywood star, I think. I don't understand what he wasn't. Unless he must have done something really bad in his life. After Hours, I absolutely loved it. And cool. Thank you to Paul Allen again for recommending that to me.
Great. I want to add to that is another someone trying to get home sorts film. Only from 2013, but I didn't see it until this year, is Locke, the Tom Hardy film. Tom Hardy in a car for the entire thing, where he's called by Andrew Scott and Olivia Colman, amongst others. You have never heard a man talk so much about concrete and enjoyed listening to it. Absolutely fantastic film if you haven't seen it. Track it down.
Can you do anything, though? Can you just watch him on the toilet?
Tom Hardy? Mm. Oh, I don't know. I think it's a very well-scripted film, and obviously well performed as well, but I mean, we've got him in Mad Max to look forward to. Let's see if he can really push our tolerance levels, because, you know, he's done a lot of interesting films so far, but if he starts to do Hollywood schlock, maybe we'll get bored of him.
I think he's too mental to do that, isn't he?
Well, he did This Means War, which is a rom-com about CIA agents, and that was appalling.
Silly Billy. My next film I saw is a documentary, and now and again you watch a film that is jaw-dropping, and rendered me as speechless as I was just then. It's directed by a man called Joshua Oppenheimer, who shot it over a period of years where he went to Indonesia and he follows death squad leaders who he gets them to reenact their killings in a cinematic fashion. And over the course of it, they suddenly realise maybe what they've done. It is some of the most incredible scenes I've ever seen on film. And you must watch this. And it's a harrowing watch, a very difficult watch. But it says all sorts about humanity and everything. In a more articulate way. It's called The Act of Killing.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the greatest films I've ever seen.
It is fantastic. The real chilling thing about The Act of Killing, for me, was the destroying of that fiction that people who are capable of evil look and act evil. And it's a terrifying idea that normal people are capable of this. That is absolutely, you know, it's a thing that we've tried to rebrand and ignore since the Second World War, to go, well, you know, Nazis look like this and normal people, they're just normal people. But it, you know, it's a terrifying concept, isn't it?
Yeah.
That we're always just so far away from people doing these atrocious things to
not
each other.
Not very far. Very far away, David!
Got a general election coming up. We'll see what happens. Yeah, no, I agree. That was a fantastic film. The Hunt is another one of mine from 2012.
Yes.
Mads Mikkelsen, who is in a small town. I assume it's in Denmark. I forget.
I am not a paedophile.
That's the one, the tagline, where he gets accused. He's a primary school teacher, and he gets accused of an act he did not commit. And then it's him trying to keep his life together in the wake of the mob mentality that happens. It's a chilling film, but really good.
My third pick. Let's stay out of
what?
Let's stay out in the east. It's Metro Manila, which I talked about a few weeks ago, where a man in the Philippines and his family, who are poor and they can't survive, they decide to relocate to Metro Manila, which is probably the most overpopulated city in the world, and their lives gradually collapse as they deal with poverty and they have to get jobs and everything goes wrong. It's a British sort of Philippine sort of co-main film. I thought it was really original. I felt I was learning a bit what the Philippines are like, Manila's like, even though it was a dramatisation of it. It's come out 2013. Not many people really went to watch this. I thought it was really great. I think it's available on DVD now, probably available on Netflix, which I think. So watch Metro Manila. Thank you.
My next one is one that Tom Tuck brought in, that's just a lovely comedy from 1980 that I had never seen before. It passed me by, but I'm very glad I have now seen it, called The Gods Must Be Crazy. Very simple, charming, little, often slapstick comedy, but really well made and great fun. I've still not seen the sequel, which apparently is sort of equally good, but I will track it down. The Gods Must Be Crazy.
My next one is, when we were talking about Richard Attenborough when he died, and I hadn't seen it before, 10 Rillington Place, which is the a film made about the mass murderer John Christie in West London in the late 1940s, 1950s, who kills someone who the people he rents his flat out to, and changes British law forever. Richard Attenborough is amazing in this, and also you've got John Hurt doing a weird Welsh accent, Judy Geeson, who's in MSF as well later on. It's a dark, depressing, bleak drama. Richard Attenborough, you can see how all sorts of performances of serial killers, even Anthony Hopkins is, you know, his quiet, chillingly sort of soft serial killer, I know it's been done before, but they see how he's influenced so many people with his performance.
I still haven't seen it, and I really want to. One that hasn't made my list, but I should mention, I've just remembered I saw it this year, is Magic, where Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, with the ventriloquist doll.
Yeah. Again, you know, in terms of somebody's madness and it all coming, it's an excellent, excellent film.
Yeah.
My next one, actually, slightly mainstream this one, but I'd never seen it before and I was expecting it to be terrible and I ended up really enjoying it. It's the 2007 Ridley Scott film, American Gangster, about, it's a Denzel Washington film, and Russell Crowe is in it as well, but about the drug lord Frank Lucas, who managed to quickly become the biggest thing in heroin in America during the Vietnam War by getting it directly from the suppliers and cutting out the mob for a brief period. And his career then ended when his power and money disappeared when the Vietnam War ended and cut off his supply. But for that brief period, he was huge and managed to rise to power very quickly. So it's a very interesting story, the fact it's true, reading about it. I mean, it's slightly glamorizing of the people involved, but it's a thoroughly, I mean, I can always watch Denzel Washington. I think he's very, very watchable, but it's a very good film, and it's refreshing to watch a fairly recent good Ridley Scott film to remember that, you know, he can do it sometimes. Just because we've got more him pissing on his legacy to come, a lot more of it. So oh, yeah. I'm hoping that Prometheus was a blip, you know, but we'll see.
My last one, I'll give a special mention to one after this one, is Suspiria, the Dario Argento film from 1977, when this girl goes to a ballet academy to learn, this American girl in some sort of weird European place, supposed to be in Italy somewhere, and the ballet academy is a front for something darker going on. The soundtrack by Goblin is like music you've never heard before. The colours, the gothic looks, the performances, it's mental. It's totally mental, but so refreshing and genuinely terrifying in places. This new films that you realise there are no, make you realise there are no real rules to film, and you can do whatever you want, yeah, really, as long as it hangs together with some sort of vague concept. This is just, it's in 1977, so what's that, 38 years ago, and it feels so refreshing. I thoroughly enjoyed it. If you want to watch something eye opening and weird, and I didn't really know much about Dario Argento films, but please treat yourself to one of the most fascinating films ever made.
Well, my final one is also from the mid-70s, 1976, and it's in there purely because we've talked about it all year and I finally saw it, is the original Carrie.
You saw it?
I finally saw the original
when
Carrie.
When did you see it? About time.
I saw it about a month ago now.
Okay.
So, yeah, I didn't tell you, I wanted to save it up. But yes, it's infinitely superior to the remake. The remake has no idea what it's doing. Like, not to, you know, end on a negative point, but
you can't get anyone but Sissy Spacek.
No, Sissy Spacek has got this incredible look of delicacy and strangeness that is the character, and her growth actually during the film as she grows in confidence is so subtle, but you know, it is there. It really is there. Whereas Chloe Grace Moretz, her entire appeal is she seems to have a confidence and maturity beyond her years. So she doesn't work as the character of Carrie. Carrie is supposed to be isolated and insular.
It's her face. Is that her almost alien-like face that she's got. You can't.
Yeah. I mean, it's the stuff. I actually enjoyed the stuff with her mother and Carrie's character and the terribly fragile position she's in high school, having been brought up in this way. I enjoyed that stuff more than the supernatural stuff, but the film as a whole is great, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's great. And I also like spotting people who are in other things you've seen before and go, where are they from? It's that person. The bully girl who is responsible for the dropping of the blood and everything, who is going out with John Travolta in it, is RoboCop's sidekick. When she grows up, she becomes RoboCop's sidekick. There you go.
I've got one more I'd like to just quickly mention as well. I saw, talking about people who appear in things later on,
if you ever watched The Killing, if you've watched The Bridge, if you've watched Game of Thrones, all these people, 20 years ago, they made a film which was a remake called Night Watch, which is a Danish film, which has got Jamie Lannister, I don't know his real name, in it. Sophie Grable's in it. Nikolai Coster-Waldau as Jamie Lannister. Kim Bodnia from The Bridge is in it. About a guy who gets a job as a night watchman at a morgue. It's on Amazon Prime and a few things now, called Night Watch, a Danish thriller. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and it's fascinating seeing these people who, 20 years later, they all suddenly cut this huge Danish Nordic renaissance.
It wasn't remade as that Ewan McGregor film.
Yes, it was, yeah.
Is that the same film?
Yeah, I've not seen
it. I'd love to see the original, because I thought the Ewan McGregor one was good, but you could... There was almost a better film struggling to get out.
Yeah, I think this is the one you should watch. So watch, if you fancy a good winter horror, Danish horror, and you're missing your Killing, Bridge stuff, you can see them all 20 years ago in Night Watch.
Well, those are our favourites of the year.
And whatever you do, don't go and watch the worst film of the year, Draft Day.
Asylum. We talked about Asylum, and very sweetly, the writer has got in touch on Twitter. I commend his efforts to save a project somebody else screwed up, but Asylum was probably the most painful thing I've seen this year. Next year, this year, 2015, what have we got to look forward to? I mean, we've got Star Wars is probably going to be the biggest release. Well, it'll be up against Avengers Age of Ultron for the massive franchises, but
Jurassic World,
yes, Chris Pratt again. But anything, what are you looking forward to, any of these massive Goliaths at all?
Not really.
Is your Star Wars enthusiasm rock bottom?
Yeah, not really. I mean, I'd probably see the films. I mean, I was annoyed I didn't go and see Nightcrawler this year. I should mention
yes
that,
me too.
I'm not interested in the Star Wars. I don't really like that sort of stuff.
Were you not into Star Wars growing up?
No.
Oh, interesting. I will go and see it. I mean, I'm sort of happy to leave Star Wars behind now, and I don't like J.J. Abrams' Star Trek films. So I sort of, you know, I'll go and see them.
I like J.J. Abrams. I really like Super 8. That's great.
Yeah, Super 8's excellent. I really like Super 8. Yeah, but Jurassic World, I'm not sure about that trailer. And have you seen Terminator Genisys trailer? Genesis.
Who is it in that?
It is Daenerys from Game of Thrones is playing young Sarah Connor.
Well, he does look a bit like her.
Yeah, and it's Arnie again playing a sort of decrepit old T-800.
I've ignored it after the first two. I just pretend they don't exist.
Well, this one is doing the exact same thing the first Star Trek film did and X-Men Days of Future Past did this year, which is rebooting their franchise while still claiming that it's all canon by having a time travel narrative that resets everything.
And Origins, boring.
It's boring. Having to sit through 2 hours just to be told we can do anything we want again. You know, I don't want to pay for that. Start over.
There's nothing to look forward to in 2015. You came to listen to this podcast for, you know, to give you some ideas, but nothing.
Nothing. Well, that's certainly not from the big ones. Well, we'll see. We'll see. We look forward to another year of films.
Good, have a great new year, everyone. And I hope 2015 is really prosperous. Both, especially for me, but and also for you.
There you go. There's a message to take with you. We'll be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Keep watching films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.